In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I had an experience this week. I don't think that people would mind me sharing it with you because it's happened to me before. And invariably it happens with millennials. And this is not millennial bashing by any means. But I wanted to give somebody a data DVD with data on it. But their computer didn't accommodate a DVD. It didn't have a drive for it. And that's common now. We know that we use our DVDs and our CD drives to transmit information, to carry it on, to spread information. But apparently the CD drive has gone the way of the 5 1/4 inch floppy. For those of you who don't know what that is, that's something that happened sometime after the Great Depression. Yeah, but yes, you get it. So that's the 5 1/4 inch floppy. Well, anyway, so I guess the way we transmit information on our computers keeps changing, which is normal. Except how is it that we relay information as Orthodox Christians? This is the Sunday of Orthodoxy. It is a Sunday that is a witness to the power of tradition and the role that tradition plays in fulfilling God's plan for salvation, His projection of that plan into the world. And it is a Sunday that reminds us that He does have a plan. His beautiful epistle reading reminds us of all of the people that came before Christ that, if you will, paved the way for Him. We have this call this morning that is a very prophetic first call of the apostles. And then we have the victory over iconoclasm itself. And the double victory, if you will, because we know there were two periods of iconoclasm. Nevertheless, this Sunday reminds us that it is tradition that brings us here today. And tradition consists of the things that you and I do. The things that you and I might call externals. Externals. And then there might be some people who criticize us for our externals. And I suppose they could if we were to somehow concede that our worship and our faith consists only of externals, but we obviously know that's not true. Everything that we do and everything that we say, all of our actions are there to help reinforce what's going on inside of our own hearts, to help us recommit ourselves to our faith. So we would say this morning that externals matter. And so for those of you who have been listening to the sermons from me for almost a decade, this might be an unusual sermon for you. But I wanted to share it with you, and I wanted to do it today on the Sunday of Orthodoxy, knowing that not everybody will be here, but maybe these things will catch on if we keep talking about them. One external that somehow we've lost sight of, or has fallen into disuse in most Greek Orthodox parishes in the United States, except by the clergy, but this external that has fallen into disuse is the metanoia, the prostration. Metanoia, we know, means repentance, and when we prostrate ourselves, it's an act of repentance. And what we are saying is that we are dying unto our old self, and being born again in Christ, we are also showing our obedience to God as we bow before Him. And so I am going to demonstrate this morning the two types of metanias, the one that's done ordinarily and the full metania that's only done during Great Lent. And I'm demonstrating them not to show you that even though I'm now past 61 going on 62, I still have the flexibility to do this. But I'm demonstrating them so that hopefully we can begin doing this. Since we are Orthodox, the metania that we do throughout the year looks just like this. We touch the ground and stand back up and make a cross, just like that. You don't bend your knees, you touch the ground and stand up. And you can do your metanias anytime you pray. In church, when we hear the words, "Come, let us worship and fall down before our King and God," is an appropriate time to do a metania. And then if you come to Lenten services, you'll see the full metanya. And the full metanya looks like this. I'll do it from the side so you can see it, but we just bend down and we touch our hearts to the ground and stand up and make our cross. Just like that. Some people say that might look like something that comes out of another religion that emerged in the 7th century. But remember, that religion that emerged in the 7th century borrowed elements of Christianity and Judaism. It's not surprising. So you can do a full metanya without worrying that you are somehow betraying your Christianity. The question becomes, how do you do a matani in a church with pews? Well, step out into the aisle. Or run the risk of banging your forehead, but just step out into the aisle and do your matanya. If you visit a church without pews, then it becomes very easy. So that's one external. Oh, by the way, we do our cross at the end of the matanya, and I hope we all know how to do our cross, holding our fingers together like this, and to doing it prayerfully. Not over dramatically, but not in a superficial way either. The second external I wanted to talk about is the blessings before meals and how we do it as Orthodox when we're all together as a community. This is something that our summer campers have picked up on, and we should probably do in our parish as well, because as we prepare to bless the meal before the priest, or when the bishop is here before he blesses the meal, these words are customarily said. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Father bless. And if the bishop is here, we say Master bless. So let's practice saying that together. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Father bless. And tonight, when the bishop is here, we'll do it. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Master bless. And that's the same, that is the same introduction to the prayer after meal, too, that we do. And that's one thing that American Christians of all varieties have lost sight of, is the fact we should pray after our meals, not just before our meals. So we should do that here as well. So that's something we can and should do together. And next time when we meet for Faith and Fellowship on Tuesday night, we'll practice it there as well, so we get the hang of it. And then the final external I wanted to address this morning is receiving the blessing of a priest. And this is a confusing thing for people, because for years people were taught that they should kiss the hand of the priest. I'm not opposed to hand kissing. Remember that kissing the hand, and only kissing the hand, is a sign of old world respect. If there were any Romanians among us this morning, they would tell you that a traditional greeting from a young person to an old person is sărutmâna, which means I kiss your hand. Sărutmâna means I kiss your hand. And sometimes they don't even kiss your hand, they just say it out of respect. But remember, the best thing that we can get from any clergy, whether it's a priest or a bishop, not a deacon, deacons can't do it, but from a priest or a bishop, is their blessing, and to ask for their blessing. In fact, if I think about all the things that I can give you, probably the only thing that I can do is give you God's blessing and be a good conduit of God's grace. I have precious little to offer on my own, but I do give you my blessings, and should. So when you come up to a priest, it's good to ask for his blessing, and just let him bless you. Bless your head. If you want to kiss his hand afterwards, that's fine. But it's good to receive the blessing of a priest or a bishop. It's something we should be accustomed to. And it's a reminder, by the way, that all the things that we do around here, whether it's our projects, our cleaning up, our organizing, or when we are together, worshiping together, it's all done by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, not through my talent, my energy, your energy, or anything. It's a gift from God, and being blessed reminds us of that. So in a few moments, we are going to hear these words, and we'll hear them again tonight. This is the faith of the prophets. This is the faith of the apostles. This is the faith of the fathers. This is the faith of the Orthodox. If we believe that, then we owe it to the prophets and the apostles and the fathers and the Orthodox who have come before us to practice our faith as fully as possible. Now, if you have a computer, and this is a competing tip, I'm not Kim Commando, but this is a computing tip. If you have a computer without a CD-ROM, you can go out and get an external drive and plug it in. Well, matanyas and prayer, especially prayer before a meal, blessing of a priest, well, they'll never be passé, ever, ever. They will never go the way of the floppy or the CD drive. And you know, as I think about it, maybe we found the perfect title for today's sermon when we have to put a title on it and post it to the internet. On this Sunday, might we please be driven Might we please be driven to practice our faith as fully as possible. And in paying attention on this Sunday of Orthodoxy and always to what some might call the externals of the faith, might each one of us in our own way cultivate in our hearts and in our actions our own external drive.